say every Sunday morning, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Can I hear an amen? And I know you can put those amens on Facebook today. And again, we want to thank each and every one for tuning in with us today. As we acknowledge our Lord and Savior through Palm Sunday, this is a special time where we come together and we acknowledge our Lord. And the title of my message today is this, The Calvary Road. The Calvary Road. And if you have your Bibles today through Palm Sunday, we want to look at the book of Matthew, Matthew's Gospel, the 16th chapter, beginning with the 21st verse. This is Matthew, the 16th chapter, beginning with the 21st verse. And this is of the New Testament, and it is The Calvary Road is the title of my message today. Let's look at this. Verse 21. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day, verse 22. And then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, Far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. Verse 24. And then Jesus said to his disciples, If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Verse 26, And for what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of His Father with His angels, and then He will return each according to His works. Verse 28, Assuredly I say to you, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the Son of Man coming in His kingdom. Can I hear an amen to God's word? I am reminded through the retreat at Caesarea, at Philippi. There is a quiet place with Jesus. We all need that quiet times with the Lord. And I do believe we've had that time to have some quiet time with the Lord with everything that's going on in the world with the coronavirus. And we all need that time that we can spend one-on-one with the Lord. Yet life-changing lessons that Jesus was giving to His disciples can also be life-changing lessons for us today. Again, Jesus says, Whom say ye that I am? Peter's confession and the Lord's revelation of the church was being revealed, and yet the most difficult lesson of all was the cross. You see, Peter didn't want Jesus to die. That was not what he wanted. He couldn't even begin to imagine that. And yet the disciples learned that Jesus is on his way to Calvary. In other words, he is on his way to be crucified. Calvary, the name, is used in the King James Version and in the New King James Version for the place outside of Jerusalem, where the Lord Jesus was crucified in Luke's Gospel 23 and 33. No one knows for sure why this place was called the Skull, S-K-U-L-L, the Skull. The most likely reason is the site was a place of execution. It was a place that the skull is widely recognized as a symbol for death. And the site may have been associated with a cemetery. And although its location near Jerusalem, it makes it improbable that the skulls could be viewed there. And perhaps the area was an outcropping of rock that is in some way resembles a skull. Today I want you to know with my first point that the Christ of the Calvary Road, the Christ of the Calvary Road. Matthew's Gospel 16 and 21 says, "And from that time Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. Yet the disciples are longing for the kingdom, and their reaction to the event is preceding this retreat that Jesus is having with his disciples. I am reminded that the multitude listened to Jesus," and we see this in chapter 13 of Matthew's Gospel. We also see 5,000 fed. Jesus walked on water. We see this in chapter 14. The religious leaders rebuked with authority. We see that in chapters 15. And again, we see that they thought that the kingdom would soon be established. And now the revelation of Calvary's Road begins to take place. How shocking to these men that Jesus had come to die. We're reminded that Jesus was born of a virgin, conceived by the Holy Spirit. He was born to die. He was born to die for you and me, that we may come to know Him, and that we know Him and make Him known, that we come and accept Him as our Lord and Savior. He becomes the ultimate gift that God has given us through His Son, Jesus Christ. And we see how that Jesus has come to save us all. And yet I am reminded, the street from Pilate's Hall to Calvary is called the Via Dolorosa. But the Calvary Road is from the manger to the cross. Let me say that again. But Calvary's Road is from the manger to the cross. Being born, a babe coming into this world, yet was going to be crucified. And all his life, Jesus walked the Calvary Road. Our sins took him to the cross. This was why he came into the world, because of the sins of the world. John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth upon him should not perish, but have everlasting life." He truly loves us so much that God sent his Son that we may know him in a personal way. Not only the Christ of Calvary Road, but my second point today is the common reaction to Calvary's Road. The common reaction to the Calvary Road. Matthew's Gospel 16 and 22, we see here, "Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, 'Far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you.' But he turned and said to Peter, 'Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, For you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. In other words, Jesus was telling Peter, Peter, what you're saying, you don't understand. You don't know exactly what's going on. But Jesus is saying, Peter, I want you to know my heavenly Father has sent me in this world. My heavenly Father is guiding me. My heavenly Father has already showed me the plan. He showed me the reason. He showed me the purpose. And you don't understand this, Peter. And I believe today, there's a lot of us today, we don't fully understand. But we do know that God has a plan. He has a purpose. He loves you. He loves me. He knows exactly what you're dealing with today, physically, spiritually, financially, emotionally, mentally. Whatever you're dealing with in life today, you may feel that this is an ultimate crisis that you're dealing with that you don't know how to handle, that you don't know what to face. You don't know what tomorrow will bring. And I want to encourage you today that Jesus is with you. He is your source. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. And we can trust and believe upon Him because He is our comfort. He is our peace in time of need and trouble. And clearly He is wanting us to know that He is Abba Father. He is Daddy to us. And He will comfort us and He will wrap His arms around us. And you and I are not alone. We're not on an island by ourselves. We're not alienated from everything that's around us because God is with us. He's encamped angels all around us. And He will continue to take care of us. He will continue to protect us. But Jesus is saying, I need you to call out on me. I need you to call upon me. And that's what God's Word is saying. Call upon Him while He is near. Because He will be closer to you than a brother and a sister. And there are those that have brothers and sisters. Closer than a mom and a dad. God knows exactly what you and I are going through. And Jesus told Peter, says, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. I want to encourage you today, man will let you down. Your families may let you down, mom and dad, your neighbor, your co-worker, whatever may let you down, but God will never let you down. Jesus has walked and has walked that Calvary road for you. He bled and died for you. I am reminded that Peter didn't want to hear about the cross. A lot of times we don't want to hear about the cross. We don't want to hear about the persecution. We don't want to hear about what Jesus went through. Yet the world would like to find another way. There's times that we just feel like, well, why do we have to go by the cross? Why do we have to go by the foot of the cross? Why do we have to acknowledge the cross? Because our Lord and Savior bled and died on the cross. You see, God the Father wanted a sacrifice. He sacrificed His Son. He put His Son on a cross, nailed Him to the tree. And we're reminded through this that God orchestrated this. The prophets had spoken through the Old Testament hundreds and hundreds of years before it actually took place. It took place. It took place that Jesus Christ bled and died for you and me. Yet I am reminded a code of conduct that would say, that's what we believe. There's got to be a code of conduct that would save. Maybe a religious ceremony that would cleanse us from our sins. But we know that we need the cross. The cross reveals our sinful condition. You see, all sin, all iniquity, all shame, all guilt is placed on the cross. And it was placed on the cross over 2,000 years ago where Jesus bled and died, was nailed to the cross. And now we learn through the cross the seriousness of sin. We learn that of sin, sin has been placed on the cross, and only His blood can wash it away. Only His blood, because of Calvary's cross, can wash our sins away because of Jesus Christ as He bled and He died. Revelations 1 and 5 tells us and reminds me, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to Him who loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. Let me read that again. Revelations 1 and 5. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the one that went down Calvary's road, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to Him who loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. By His blood we are saved by Him. Jesus would suffer and die at the hands of religious men. Religion cannot save you. Let me say that again. Religion cannot save you. It's not by what you do. It's not how good you are. It's not all the good deeds that you do. Religion cannot save you. Only Jesus Christ, as Him King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that can save you. My third point today is this: the call to the Calvary Road. The call to the Calvary Road. Matthew's Gospel 16 and 24, then Jesus said to His disciples, here's the call to Calvary's Road. If anyone desires to come after Me, this is what Jesus said, if anyone desires to come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. We're not taking up the Lord Jesus Christ and His cross, but Jesus is saying you're going to take up your own cross. You're going to bear your own cross. There are things that you and I are going to bear. There are some things that you and I are going to go through. Just like we're going through this coronavirus right now, there are some things that we're going through. Jesus said, I've been there. I've done that. I've gone through these things. And He says, if I've gone through them, you're going to also go through them too. But He says, be of good cheer. He says, I've overcome the world. I've overcome the world. And if Jesus is encouraging us through His Word that we can overcome this coronavirus. We can overcome what we're dealing with in life right now. And the most important thing is we need to understand is we need to come to a saving grace of accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. Making that profession of faith is saying, Lord, I'm surrendering unto You, Lord. I'm trusting in You, Lord. I'm walking by faith. We are to walk by faith and not by sight. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's never for us to look with the natural eye, even though in the world everybody's looking at everything, seeing everything, trying to figure out what's going on with such calamity and such dilemma that's going on. But we are to walk with our hearts upon the Lord Jesus Christ, that our eyes are fixed on Him, that He becomes our eyes, that He becomes the one that leads us, that guides us, that directs us, and leads us where we need to go, not where we want to go, but to lead us where we need to go. I am reminded in verse 25 of Matthew's Gospel 16 and 25, He says, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for My sake will find it. He goes on in verse 26, for what profit is to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? What if you gain everything but you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ and loses your own soul? He says, or Jesus says, or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? You see, the soul, God's word lets us know, the soul never dies. It continues on. In verse 27, for the Son of Man will come in the glory of His Father with His angels, and then He will reward each according to his works. One day the Lord Jesus Christ, folks, is coming back. He's coming back to earth again. He's going to split those eastern skies, and He is coming back to receive us. And if we've accepted the Lord Jesus Christ into our hearts and in our lives, and we've made that profession of faith, then guess what? He's coming for you. He's coming for me. He's coming for our families. He is coming for those that has accepted Him and that is trusting in Him and that has said, Lord, my faith is in You, Lord. My faith is not in this world. My faith is not in the government. My faith is not in our president. My faith is not in things that are around me. My faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ, because He is going to continue to be the author and the finisher of our faith. Did you know that? He who begins a good work in you shall and will be faithful to complete it to the very end. When God starts something in your life, He doesn't stop there. He continues to see it complete, because He is a God of completion. He is wanting to complete in your life. He is wanting to see things come in your life in a way that you've never seen before. I am reminded that the Calvary Road is the road of surrender. The Calvary Road is a road of surrender. It's surrendering ourselves and saying, Lord, You have complete control. Jesus prayed this in Gethsemane. Before His crucifixion, He was in the Garden of Gethsemane, and He began to pray. He said, Lord, not my will, but Your will be done. In Matthew's Gospel 26 and 39, He went a little further and fell on His face, and He prayed, saying, Oh, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as You will. In other words, Lord, this was Jesus. This is humanity. This was human. This was what was coming out in Jesus. He was very human. He was human like you, human like me. He was feeling pain. He felt agony. He felt these things as we feel every day. And He says, Lord, let this cup pass. But He says, Lord, You know best. Father, You know best. Not my will, but Your will be done. In other words, He was obedient to the death of the cross. I'm reminded in the book of Philippians 2 and 5, the Apostle Paul, he wrote this. He says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, verse 7, but made Him of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. Verse 8, and being found in appearance as a man, He humbled, Jesus humbled Himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. In other words, like you and like me, He fashioned Himself, God the Father, bringing Him to this earth. Yet did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. He knew His Father in heaven. Made Himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a servant, a bondservant, and came in the likeness of Him. He didn't come to be served. He came to this earth so that He could serve others. You see, the Calvary Road is the road not only through the obedience of the cross, but the Calvary Road is the road of sacrifice. You see, Matthew's Gospel 16 and 24, then Jesus said to His disciples, if anyone desires to come after Me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for My sake will find it. You may say, Pastor, what do you mean? What I'm saying is, we've got to lose this life. In other words, we've got to let Jesus Christ begin to reign and rule in our hearts and life. You see, it's not about what I want. It's not about what I want to do. And it's not about this and that and the other. You know, it's not so much about my desires, but it's about the Lord Jesus Christ and His desires and His ways. You see, God clearly lets us know our ways are not His ways. Our thoughts are not His thoughts. A lot of times we think we know what God's thinking. A lot of times we may think we know what God is saying. A lot of times we may not know that. You see, because He says our ways are not His ways, our thoughts are not His thoughts. Yet I am reminded there's the Calvary Road is the road of service. Matthew 16 and 27, for the Son of Man will come in the glory of His Father with His angels, and then He will reward each according to his works. The Calvary Road is a road of service. He's coming back, folks. He's going to come back to earth again. Now, I don't know when He's coming. He lets us know through His warnings. I believe that this is a time of warning right now. I believe God is warning us through this COVID-19. I'm not saying we're at the very end, but I believe we're in the last days of the last days, folks. I believe He's letting us know that it's time for us to get our minds on the Lord. It's time to get our families to the Lord. It's time for us to get everything, get our house in order, to get things ready. And I do believe that God is getting everything ready for us. Our service in the light of His sacrifice, our service in the light of His return. And my question to you today would be this, as I bring my conclusion, are you committed to Calvary's Road? Are you committed to Calvary's Road? Are you in it for the long haul? You know, there are some that may be in it for the short haul. Maybe there are some that has thought about accepting the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you haven't yet made that profession of faith. Maybe it's taken the coronavirus to say, Lord, I want to accept You as my Lord and Savior. And listen, that's great, because that's what the Lord Jesus wants. The Lord Jesus wants us to accept Him. Accept Him. Receive Him. And that we continue to acknowledge Him. Christ has walked the road before you. Let me say that again. Christ has walked the road before you. He's went before you. He's been there, if I can say it in 21st century terms. He's been there. He's done that. He's already gone. He knows exactly what you and I are going through. And yet Christ has walked the road before you. And my question to you today would be this. Will you follow Him there? Will you go down Calvary's Road? Will you follow Him? He is now ahead of us. He's been there, done that. He's gone down that road, and yet are you committed to Calvary's Road? Listen, today, as I close, I want you to know, if you haven't made a profession of faith, you haven't accepted the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart and life. Listen, today, God's Word says, today is the day of salvation if you harden not your heart. Listen, if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you right there in your room, in your home, in a motel, wherever you may be in your car, you wherever you may be, as this is going around the world today, wherever it may be going, listen, God will meet you right where you're at. His Holy Spirit is upon this land. His Holy Spirit is upon this world. And wherever you're at, if the Holy Spirit, if that little voice inside, I tell my congregation, if that little voice that's inside of you is speaking to you, that's the Holy Spirit. And He's wanting you to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ in a mighty way. And listen, I want to pray for you and your family today. And in you, if you haven't made that profession of faith, you haven't accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to pray with you today because, listen, you can accept the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, Pastor, I thought I may need to buy it or maybe I need to work it out. No, you don't have to buy it. You don't earn it. And we truly don't deserve it. It is a gift of eternal life that God wants to give you. And I want to pray for you today. You may say, well, Lord Jesus, I don't know what to do. Well, let me share with you today. Just repeat after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart and in my life. Lord, I want to make that profession of faith. I want to repent of my sins. And I want you to come into my heart and life. And Lord Jesus, I believe that you died on the cross and that you arose on the third day and that you're seated with the right hand of the Father. And the Bible says that if you will speak and believe, you will receive eternal life. And say, Lord Jesus, save me today. In Jesus' name, we pray. Listen, if you've made